Thank you, Pastor Fiani. A very, very pleasant good morning to all of us who are here. Today is considered the Men's Sunday in the Apostolic Church in America. And I want to say a very, very big thanks to all the men who are worshiping with us today. I want to extend that thanks to our sisters who are here with us to cheer us on each time that we have men's service. The sisters are always here to say amen. And how much we cherish hearing you saying amen in the men's service. Bless the Lord. We are also quite aware that there are visitors with us today. And to all of you visitors, we want to say the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you real well. And we trust that the blessing will be extended to your family too as we share together around the feast of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Each time we come together, we are to recognize that we are coming to feast with the Lord, to learn of Him, to eat from Him. And it is so important that you have your cup upturned, that you will receive a word from Him. So we are glad to have you, especially if you're a first-time visitor. We are extremely glad to have you. And we are here on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock and on Tuesday nights at 7:30. We are here to lift up the name of our God. Praise Him. Now today I would like to speak to us on the topic, the protection of being a believer.
Amen.
The protection of being a believer. It is so important for all of us that we realize that there's a difference in being a believer as far as God is concerned. There is a difference in being a believer in the eyes of God. And here is something that we should not overlook. And that is, there got to be a notable time when you or I first made our decision to serve God. We might not be able to remember the hour. We might not be able to remember the day. We might not even be able to remember the year. But the minute we made that decision to serve the Lord has written it down in His book. And that is there before the Lord at all times. Even though it might be true that you and I don't remember the exact day, time, and hour. But the Lord remembers. The Lord remembers when you and I start walking with Him. And that makes a difference, saints, because not everyone can claim that that is so. There is no record in heaven of different people who have started a journey with the Lord. There's no record. And I am saying to all of us this morning, if we have not yet done so, I encourage you today to let it be established in heaven a time when you start walking with the Lord. The protection of being a believer is our topic. We are told from the passage here that God's servant, Joshua, and remember that we're talking about two different Joshua. There was one Joshua with Moses, that was with Moses. But this Joshua is a Joshua coming out of the carrying away into Babylon. When the children of Israel was released from Babylon, this Joshua came out in order to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and to reestablish worship with the Lord, with God's people. So we are told here that Joshua went before the altar. And I would like to inform all of us here in the church this morning that we need to remember, that the enemy seemed to want to go everywhere that we goes. If we go to the supermarket, the enemy want to go with us. If we ride on the bus, the enemy want to ride on the bus with us. Wherever it is that we go, if we go to church, the enemy want to show up in church with us. We need to remember that at all times, the enemy intention is to destroy us. And that is why it is so important that we establish this relationship with the Lord so that it can be recorded that we have established this relationship with him and he is offering us his divine protection against the dragon. Here we are, as we are told by the word. Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel in order to carry out his official duty. Standing before the angel in a setting where he is about to carry out his official duty as a priest. Zechariah and others who were there saw him and watched him before the Lord. And that is all that is though. But while Zechariah was witnessing the operation of God's servant, as he would be ministering unto the Lord on behalf of God's people, the Lord whispered in the ear of Zechariah something which was rather stunning. Zechariah said, the Lord showed him. In other words, the Lord said, look. What did he saw? What did Zechariah saw? Right there in a church setting, right there in a place of worship, what did Zechariah saw as the Lord invited him to look? The Lord showed his prophet Satan standing at the right hand of the altar. At the right hand of God's servant, Joshua. Satan standing there. And he did not come to worship. The word that the Bible used here to us, he was standing there in order to resist God's servant. In other words, he was standing there to say to Joshua, I dare you perform your duty before God because I have news on you. I have information on you. that should stop you from worshiping. Stop you from performing your duty. Zechariah did not know that. Joshua did not know that. But I want to say to the church this morning, wherever the enemy is, the Lord spots him. The Lord knows. Hallelujah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Standing at the right hand of the altar, that is a place for the witness. If you're in the court of law in those days, the witness would normally stand in the court on the right hand side. The enemy takes up that position in the church, in the place of worship, in an effort to bar God's servant from carrying out his official duty. But it was the Lord who showed the prophet the move of the enemy.
Yes, yes.
Unbelievers, this is showing us something here. This is telling us that we have somebody on our side. And even when we are not even conscious of it, he is rooting on our behalf. The protection of being a believer. And the Lord looked on the dragon who came there with the intention of bringing down God's servant. The Lord looked on the dragon and said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." Think about that for a minute. He thought that he was blocking God's servant in the church from performing his duty. I have something on him that you cannot deny, Lord. I have something on her that, Lord, you cannot deny. That was met with a tremendous force from God that cripples the motive of the enemy. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Call him out by his name in the sanctuary. Then the Lord went on to say, isn't this a brand plucked from the fire? Every single one of us here this morning, every single one of us here as believers, we are considered a brand plucked out of the fire. We were about to be destroyed by the enemy when the Lord laid his hand on us. Be it 10 years ago, be it 5 years ago, be it 50 years ago, or even more, the Lord has plucked us out of the fire that was about to consume us, and he has called us his own until this minute.
Amen. Yes.
And sometime you might not even feel that you are safe, because I heard many people talk that way. Sometime your inspiration is a little bit down. But that does not change the relationship with you and God. God still holds you and I as the apple of his eye. Why? Because one day we did choose the Lord as our Savior.
Yes.
Let me say this to the church. The Bible describes the enemy as the father of lies. The old dragon as the father of lies. The enemy shall lie on you, it sounds like truth. But in this particular instance, in this particular instance, the enemy was speaking the truth. The enemy was speaking the truth because the enemy said to the Lord, Joshua, the high priest, has on filthy garment. He's wearing filthy garment at the altar. Filthy garment is a metaphor for sin in one's life. The enemy on the right hand side of the altar is saying to the Lord, this man is not worthy of serving here. And you know, in him saying that, it causes us to take a look at God. It causes us to take a look at God. Because the enemy was looking on the filthiness of Joshua's garment against the holiness of God. Think about that for a second. The enemy knows to the extent of how holy and righteous God is. The enemy knows that there is no spot or blemish in the life of God. The enemy knows that God's standard is holiness. The enemy knows all of that. That's why he looked on the filthiness of God's servant's garment, and he was able to speak from a standpoint of confidence that if this man's garment is so stained, you cannot accept him or his sacrifice. And he was also implying something else to the enemy. He was actually saying to God, I messed up one time and you kicked me out forever. And you got to do the same thing with this man. Now all of that, he went in loaded in order to bring down God's servant. But I'd like to say to the church this morning, and church, believe me when I tell you, there is protection of being a believer in God. And sometimes you and I might not understand the full details of how God is protecting us. Because what goes on behind the scene are things that you and I are not privy to. This was happening behind the scene. And God was there dealing with the whole situation in order to do what? Protect his servant, who have committed his life to the Lord. And that is what makes all the difference. There got to be a time when the Lord knows that you belong to him. From that minute, that level of protection goes into operation. And so we're dealing with this servant of God coming out of Babylon, still maintaining the relationship with God and intend to continue to worship and serve God in building a house with Zerubbabel and all the rest of the prophets and servant that comes out of Babylon unto the Lord. And here he run into this problem. Now, I must say to the church here that it has not been proven clearly from this passage what was the soil, as we continue to argue in that line. What was the soil that was on Joshua's garment? It could be that he was carrying the sins of the children of Israel as a prophet, as a priest. It could also be that he was carrying the sins of his own family, his sons, the sins of his sons who had gotten married not too long ago. It could also be that he was carrying his own sin, as we have seen in verse 4, where it says, "And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him." That is the Lord speaking now. "And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to part from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change raiment." The Lord said that to his servant at the altar. "Behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change raiment." So it proved now to be true. The Lord confirmed to us that it is true that his servant had on filthy garments at the altar. The enemy probably, for the first time, was speaking the truth. The servant of God at the altar was wearing filthy garments, and he used it as he stood there on the right-hand side of the altar to condemn God's servant against God's holiness. Because you remember that the Lord acknowledged that Joshua was in fact wearing filthy garments. But it didn't stop there, saints. Listen to a little bit more to what happened. I read verse 4 again because it is important. Let me read verse 2 for you to get the gist of what we're saying here. Verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, in the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" As he referred to his servant right there at the altar. "And he answered and spake," the Lord now, "answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him." That is, take away the filthy garment from his servant Joshua. "And unto Joshua now," he said, "behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change raiment." The Lord has not changed. The Lord has not changed. The Lord operates by a certain principle that governs his behavior. You remember in Matthew chapter 18, what the Lord said, what Peter said unto the Lord. Peter said, how much time should I forgive my brother if he offended me? 7 times? The Lord said, no. Not 7 times, but 70 times 7. It means 400 times for one day. In one day, forgiveness is supposed to be meted out to our brother or our sister. Over 400 times. For the same offense. For the same offense. This is the principle by which God lives. And God is applying that principle right here to Joshua. When he declared, when he looked at the enemy and said, the Lord rebuke you. Oh, Satan, the Lord rebuke you for coming here, for being so brazen, and come inside here in the sanctuary and talk about my servant of a stained garment as if the Lord did not know. The Lord established the principle by which he lives. And you can even remember the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, Matthew 6. And there's a section there that says, the thought of forgiving you or me is dependent on our ability to forgive our brother or our sister. That this is a principle of God. One he operates by. And he's applying it here to his servant. That I forgive you, Joshua. I forgive you for whatever it is that caused your garment to be stained. I forgive you. Because I am operating under a principle in which I am extended to you. You have chosen me. And I am here to protect you. Some people have the impression that as we sin, God has a sledgehammer over our head to smack us and to kill us. We have a misrepresentation of God as believers. God does not operate like that. God, Peter said, how much time for one day that I should forgive my brother? The Lord said, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. John writing the epistles, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, tells us something. John said, little children, I write unto you that you sin not. Remember, now, John is making it clear that as believers, we should stay away from sin, period. We should stay away from all form of sin as believers before God and live holy and live pure and live righteous before him. But John put in the caveat here, which is so vital for all of us here. After John made that statement, John said, but if you sin, hallelujah, but if you sin, I write unto you, little children, that you sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. We have an advocate with the Father. And each time that we messed up, the advocacy of Jesus come into being. And the Lord Jesus hold up his hands before the Father and said, here are the nail prints. Here are the nail prints. My life was given for him. My life was given for her. On the basis of this sacrifice, I ask that all his sin, all her sin be blotted out. John said, we have an advocate with the Father. I want to remind all of us here this morning, saints in the service, that it is a real challenge to be steadfast in our relationship with the Lord these days. There are so many things that are coming against us as Christians. And it is easy for you to get angry. It is easy for you to say things. It is easy for you to do things because of the relentless attack of the enemy on our life as Christians. And we're reminded in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. We're reminded what happened there. The word tells us, the Lord told us here, as he spoke to John, that the enemy carries news on the believer day and night before God. The enemy, as your temper rise, the enemy grab it and rushed to God and said, hey, guess what happened to Brother Jay? Guess what happened to Brother John? Guess what happened to Brother Green? The enemy carry news on you and I every single day and night. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10. The enemy looking to separate us from God at all times. You know, I do not even know why I'm bringing this message to the church this morning. But the Lord led me, pressure me on this word for over 3-4 weeks ago. And I resist to bring it, and I decide, yes, Lord, I'm going to minister on this morning. Some believers are feeling that they have messed up, and they have not been forgiven. Some believers are not too sure whether are not, their names are still written in the Lamb's book of life. I want to say to you this morning, the protection of being a believer is very important in the eyes of God. God is protecting you. God is protecting me from the very thoughts, from the very action, and from our very attitude that might appear to be contrary to God. Because the enemy stands beside us in the marketplace. The enemy stands beside us in the church. The enemy stands beside us in our home. to bring news to God about us. And for some of these things, we can't say that it is not true. Like in the case of Zechariah. Enemy rushed to God and said to him, do you know what happened last night to brother so-and-so, to sister so-and-so? But the enemy don't have a clue as to who God is. Because long before the dragon come to the Lord knew what happened. The Lord knew what happened, saints. And the Lord is still using those words. The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord rebuke each time that he appears before him. He says, the Lord rebuke you. Is not this a bronze snatch from the burning? You and I might not consider it to be any big thing. But behind the scene, where the struggles really goes on, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is where this Christian struggle is. But we have a God that is on our side. Hallelujah! 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 We have a God that is watching out for us. We have a God that is interested in us. We have a God that is forgiving.
Yes. Amen.
One of the things that we see also come out of this is that we cannot measure our holiness with one another. We cannot say that I am more holier than you. You are more holier than me. We are more holier than somebody else. We have no basis at all for saying that. But we measure our holiness with the Lord. And each time that we measure our holiness with the Lord, we find that he is far superior to us. Our holiness is hinged up in the man called Jesus. The word tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, that he had made him, Jesus, that is, to be sin for us who knew no sins, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. The righteousness that you have, the righteousness that I have, he's in Jesus, not in our own making. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The word tells us where sin abound, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
None of us here in this company, none of us here in this company can sin so much that grace cannot overtake that sin. None of us in this company. Grace is abounding. Grace continues to overshadow any form of sin element. As long as we are believers in Christ, his grace is sufficient. For whom the Son set free is free indeed. I want the believers listening this morning. I want every believer listening this morning not to feel condemned in any shape or form. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, as the Bible said, you are not condemned. You are not condemned, but you are passed on from death to life. Regardless of what the enemy wants to throw at you, regardless of how much news the enemy wants to bring to the throne of God on you, you are not condemned. We are not condemned. Because the Lord continued to repeat the words. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. As much as the garment is messed up, God order a change of garment right there. God said, put on a new set of garments on him. Clothe him with a new set of garments. In other words, the forgiveness of God is upon him. The cleansing power of Jesus' blood is on him. The blood of Jesus, John declared, cleanses us from all sin, regardless of what type they are. The blood of Jesus has that ability to cleanse from sin. We don't know, as I said before, exactly whether it was Israel's sin, his family's sin, or the fact that his two sons got married not too long ago. The manner in which they were married. We don't know. We don't know if it was his sin that the enemy was pointing out. And of course, he could have seen himself. There are many ways in which he could have seen. And the enemy knew. And the enemy was glad to go to this side of the altar with this piece of information. Judging against the holiness of God. This man is not worthy to stand here. When I say the high priest, though, I'm referring to all of us as believers. Because we are all priests before God, according to what Peter said. We are a holy nation. We are peculiar people. Standing there, offering service before God. And the enemy accusing him of wearing filthy garments. And the Lord showed his prophet the trick of the enemy, what the enemy is up to. And the Lord ordered a change of garment for his servant right there before the dragon. And then the Lord did something else, which we should not overlook. Look at verse 5, if you still have your Bible with you. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 5. The Lord speaking here. And I said, let them set a fair measure upon his head. So they set a fair measure upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord stood by, watching the instruction carried out from the Lord. And why is it that apart from the garments, which was soiled, the Lord changed on his servant? Because that is what the enemy was complaining about. That is the attack from the enemy towards God's servant. Why, what is it? Why is it that changing his garment was not enough? That God went further here by ordering something to wear on his head. And if you look at Exodus 28, let's look at Exodus 28 for a second here. Exodus 28:36-38. Listen to this particular instrument here, headwear. This particular headwear that the Lord ordered that he should wear. Let us see what it signifies around here. Exodus chapter 28:36-38. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engraving of a signet. Holiness to the Lord. Verse 37. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the merit, same thing, upon the forehead, upon the forefront of the merit it shall be. Now, why did the Lord not satisfy alone with the garment, the change of garment here upon his servant? But instead, the Lord introduced this part of it, that they should put on this headwear on the servant of God, Joshua. And on the front of that headwear, it is written, holiness unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Joshua did not came into the worship place wearing that. But the Lord insists now that he wears it. Has the enemy look on the servant of God and see a clean garment? Not only a clean garment, but he look on his forehead and he see the writing, holiness unto the Lord. God sends shockwave through the heart of the dragon. Holiness unto the Lord. I want to tell the believers here, lift your head high, believers. Lift your head high and show off to the dragon, holiness unto the Lord. The protection of being a believer is in the hands of God. If God protects you, you are protected. If God said you are on my side, you are on my side. And it does not matter what the enemy might do to you. You are protected by the hands of the Lord. And then in closing, verse 7. Thus said the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk, he is talking now to his servant Joshua. Thus said the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my people, judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give thee place to walk among these that stand by. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is saying to his servant, not only have I clothed you with fresh garment and clean garment, not only that I have given you a headwear to demonstrate to the world and to the enemy that you are holy unto the Lord, but now I want you to continue to perform your duties in my sanctuary among my people. Hallelujah. And it is based on what? It is based on the ability of God to forgive his servant. Because God remember when he first start walking with him. I want to find out if you are here today and you are not a believer. Why is it that you have not changed your religion? Why is it that you have not committed your life to the Lord? Why is it that you're not leaning on Jesus' side? Jesus recognized the forgiveness of sin when one repents before him. That's the time God is going to forgive sin. And there is a date to it that God wants to write down in his book of life. He wants to write down a date beside the time when you start. It is not just jump on a bagwagon somewhere and nobody knows when you got on. Nobody knows when you got on. There got to be a time written down in the book of life when you actually start with the Lord, so that you can come under this protection. And regardless of what the enemy threw at you, God is prepared to forgive you. God is prepared to give you a new set of garments.
Amen.
God is interested in this set of garments. He takes it very seriously. There's a man who appeared in a banquet, Matthew tells us. And when the banquet, when things were going well, the king came around to inspect the guests in the banquet hall. And he found a man there who did not have on the right garment. And he ordered him to be thrown out in outer darkness. It is important that we wear the right garment before God. And as I said, it's a metaphor for holiness, lack of sin in our life. We need to be clothed in his righteousness. We need to be clothed in his holiness. And it all comes down to forgiveness. To forgiveness from the Lord. I don't know if you know this, but I believe you do know, because you must have listened, you must have read, that any president at all in the United States, and governors too, that power is vested in the governors as well. But any president and governors in here, in this United States, has the power of the pen to go inside any courts of any prison and release anyone he or she chooses by virtue of the power that is vested in that chair. Pardon, forgiveness. God has a pen that is bigger than any governor or any president, that he can write and he can say pardon and you are free. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. And that is where we are as believers. The benefit of being a believer in Christ means exactly as what John said to us. Little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. And I want to use this opportunity right now to invite those of you who might be among us, our men folks that are here. The Lord bless you for being here. But the Lord wants to know that your name, that he knows, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life so that he can give you this level of protection. It's not too late. You can do it today. The enemy wants to destroy you, but God is not going to protect you. He's not committed to protecting you because you have not made that decision. You have not made that start. But once you have made that start, the Lord is committed to protect you from the enemy in this fashion. I'm saying to you right now that you can start this journey with the Lord. Come under this protection. How often he declared that I would like to gather you under my wings. Like, oh, the hen gather the chick under her wings. For what? Protection. And then the word continued to say, but you would not. There are many who refuse the invitation. But I'm saying to you today, I'm saying to you, the Lord wants to gather you under his wings for protection against the onslaught of the enemy. Why don't you allow him? He said to Peter, the devil, Satan wants to sift you as a wheat. Satan wants to destroy you. But I have prayed for you, Peter. I have prayed for you. And coming under the protection of the Lord. And Peter was almost destroyed by the enemy. But because of that prayer from the Lord, Peter was speared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is extending that invitation to you today if you're not saved. As usual, I would like to pray for somebody if you'd like to start this journey with the Lord. Oh, be saved, his grace is free. Oh, be saved, he died for thee. Oh, be saved, he died for thee. Is there somebody? Pray for me, Pastor, that I might get that protection from the Lord and be protected from the onslaught of the enemy. The enemy knows where you live. The enemy knows when you are asleep and when you are awake. The enemy follows you around. And the enemy intention is not good. The enemy intention is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that he might have life and that he might have it more abundantly. Are you here this morning, this day, and would like to make that change? Father, we bless your name. We just thank you. Thank you for the example that you have shown us in Zechariah. To the extent that you are willing to defend us as believers from the attack of the enemy. We thank you for this example. And we believe that right now you are doing the same thing in the lives of so many of your people. You're still saying to the enemy, the Lord rebuked you. Pointing out that we are a brand snatched from the burning. The fact that we have trusted you, Lord, and we have made that decision. We thank you for the protection that you have given unto us as believers. Just of being believers, you have protected us. Many times behind our backs, the enemy carry news upon us. News that if you follow him, we would have no more relationship with you. But God, I thank you that you rebuke the dragon every time on our behalf. And you remind him that we are a believer that is plucked from the fire, plucked from destruction, and have made our choice with Jesus. We thank you. And Lord God, our prayer right now is that others will discover that and come to serve you as their Lord and their Savior. Thank you for this men's service today, Lord. Thank you for every meal that is in our midst. Thank you, Lord God, that there is a purpose for every one of us here as men. Some might be revealed already, and there are others who are yet to be revealed. But God, I pray that you will reveal our purpose to us so that it can be clear as to what you will have us do. Thank you for our sisters who are here with us. And I pray your continuous blessing upon this church, that it will continue to lift up the name of Jesus and to speak truth to what you are saying in your word. We bless your name, Lord, as we say thanks again in Jesus' name. Father, we want to use this opportunity also, right under the anointing at this moment, would like to use this opportunity to pray for your servant, Brother Bailey. Pray for this servant of God. You're seeing this commitment to you. Over many years, he has served you, Lord. The enemy is trying to attack him. But this day I pray for him, Lord. And just like how you saw the enemy trying to attack Joshua, you have seen the enemy trying to attack your servant. But Lord God, I pray that your hands will continue to be upon him. You will deliver him from all these attacks, oh Lord. And I pray, God, that he will continue to worship you in the beauty of holiness. He will continue to serve you with vigor and strength. The attack of the enemy upon his body, Lord God, I pray that the enemy will be defeated, Lord. That is the way in which he wants to stop God's servant from ministering unto your name. But I pray, God, that you will heal his body outright, totally, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the blessed Holy Spirit. We look to you for complete deliverance. And we know that there will be testimonies to follow as we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.